This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A bump in the road.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Chrysler has got another week and a half to figure out how it's going to avoid bankruptcy. That means drastically reducing its debt. The White House has asked Chrysler's biggest creditors to help out, and this morning we're hearing those creditors are not having it. Reporter Ashley Milne-Tite joins us. Ashley, what's going on?
Well, there's a standoff right now between the government and about 45 of Chrysler's creditors, and that includes some of the biggest banks, you know, the ones we keep hearing about, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs. These creditors hold $6.9 billion of Chrysler's debt. And last week, the Treasury Department asked them to forget about that $6.9 billion and accept around $1 billion instead. This week, the banks came back and said no. They said, we'll accept a cut, but we want $4.5 billion back, not close to $1 billion. It's not enough. And part of their problem, they say, is that they have to think of their own shareholders in all this, and that means getting back as much money as possible from Chrysler.
And how's the government reacting to that?
Well, the Treasury Department's made it clear it's not at all happy with the bank's response. It says it hopes these lenders take a more constructive position over the next few days. And one Michigan politician said he's really disappointed the banks won't agree to the concessions, particularly because they've received billions of dollars, of course, in government bailout money themselves. Mm-hmm. And given that, he thinks they ought to be a little more flexible. So, I mean, there's still some time to sort this out before April 30th, but obviously the clock is ticking pretty loudly.
Ashley Milne-Tite in New York, thank you.
You're welcome.
The British government releases its 2009 budget later today. Now, there's not much room for new spending, but here's one idea: paying drivers to scrap their old cars for new ones. We hear more now from Christopher Wirth.
The UK would join a growing rank of European countries offering car scrapping subsidies. The British proposal would pay drivers nearly $3,000 to trade in their rust buckets for something fresh off the assembly line in order to combat dismal new car sales. Germany's scrappage scheme increased sales by 40% last month. Industry leaders say it's also good for the environment as motorists upgrade to more fuel-efficient models. But Franziska Achterberg of Greenpeace takes issue with those claims.
None of the schemes set a ceiling that guarantees that the car that you buy with a government subsidy actually has a better mileage than the car that you turn in. So you're not sure to replace a bad car with a good car.
There's also concern the scheme would only help foreign car makers. That may hold up similar legislation in the U.S. Two cash for clunker bills in Congress could pay drivers up to $5,000, but they differ on whether to exclude automakers outside North America. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Asian stock markets ended the day mixed. European markets are mostly higher. Shares of the Swiss drug company Roche, though, are down 8% after its colon cancer drug Avastin underperformed in a new study. Avastin was developed by America's Genentech. Investors are starting to wonder whether Roche paid too much to buy Genentech last month. Wall Street is coming off a positive session. The Dow added 127 points yesterday to 7,969. This morning, Continental Airlines joins a long list of carriers that lost money in the first quarter. Continental reports it lost $136 million over the year before.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com. American Public Media presents the Poetry Radio Project. You can hear conversations with poets about the economy, music, cooking, and more at AmericanPublicMedia.org/poetry.
The Canadian toy maker Mega Brands has agreed to pay $1 million civil penalty in connection with a defective toy blamed in the death of a child. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus is here. David, what was the safety problem with this toy called Magnetics?
Magnets were becoming dislodged from the magnetic sets as early as 2004, according to federal regulators. And magnets pose an especial danger to little kids because when the magnet gets into the system, first of all, if there's multiple magnets, they can join together at various parts of the body and start doing damage there. Also, a magnet is known to just simply start shredding apart the intestines. So this is an extremely dangerous thing. And in fact, that's what happened in 2005, shortly before Thanksgiving, when a 22-month-old toddler in suburban Seattle was known to have swallowed a magnetics magnet and shortly thereafter passed away.
Now, this toy was originally made by another company, Rose Art Industries. Mega Brands says when it bought that company, it had no way of knowing the toy was defective.
Let's stop for a moment. What sort of onus is on an acquiring company during a merger of this sort to try to perform the due diligence necessary to find out what it needs to know? It turns out that if Mega Brands had wanted to go to the Consumer Product Safety Commission and say, hey, we're buying Rose Art, we'd love to know more about it, you can't do that. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says a company, even a consumer, cannot call up and run a search of its huge database of safety information. Instead, requests would have to be filed under the Freedom of Information Act, which is a process that can take months. And that's why the Safety Commission says, you know, that's why we don't see a lot of companies doing this during the due diligence process.
This sounds easily fixable, David. What happens next?
I've talked to insiders on the agency, and they say they're hoping that a new chairperson will come in, kick the dust off the tires, shake things up a bit, and if nothing else, seek the legislation necessary to bring this agency into the 21st century and use all the information technology available to make this data available quickly and efficiently.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thanks.
It's always a pleasure.
And finally, it seemed like such a good idea last year when Heineken bought Scottish and Newcastle and became the UK's largest brewer. This morning, Heineken reported a drop in quarterly profit. The world just is not spending on expensive imported beer. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a frothy Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.